Would you go with me in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to, as someone else has said during the conference, I'm going to talk fast so you listen fast, because we want to let you out on time. I know your pastor always lets you out on time, and so I'll try to do that for you this morning, all right? In Philippians chapter 3, let me begin reading at verse 10. We've read this several times throughout the conference, but let me go back and read these verses with all of you folk this morning. Verse 10 to verse 14 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Dear Lord, this morning we thank you for the blessed hope, the sure hope, the eternal hope that we have because of Calvary's love for us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us never to lose hope, not only hope for eternity, but hope in this life, in our future. Lord, we thank you that you love us, that you have a plan for our lives. We thank you, dear God, that that plan for us is so much better and so much greater and so much more filled with joy and fulfillment than we can possibly even imagine as we yield our lives to you and let you take control of our lives. Dear God, we thank you for what you do and what you will do in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just make a statement before I get into the message this morning. You know, we often hear that God wants first place in your life. You know, dear friends, I want to say something to you this morning. God does not want first place in your life. Now, maybe you've never heard a preacher or pastor say that before, but I want to say that emphatically this morning. God does not want first place in your life. God wants the only place in your life. You know, I have to be reminded of that over and over again. When we say first place, we're kind of thinking of, well, you know, if he doesn't have first place, maybe he can have second place, and maybe he can have third place. Dear friends, that's not the way it is in our relationship with God. God wants our all. He wants everything. He wants our best. He wants to have total control of our lives. And though we all understand the phrase, God wants first place, I'd like for us to just think on this. God wants everything. He wants the only place in our lives. And you know, that's the way to having hope and always maintaining a hope, not only for eternity, but for time. So I want to bring you these thoughts today that we've taken out of this passage of Scripture as we've been doing throughout the conference, just picking out a phrase here and just emphasizing that. And the phrase that I want to use in particular this morning is in verse 13, where he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. So never lose hope. And if you have a little outline, a little handout there, you can feel free to fill it out. If you desire not to fill it out, that's fine as well. But sometimes it's just a help to be able to write a few things down and have something in our hand to look at. We know today that suicide is one of the greatest killers among our youth. What a sad thing that is. And not only the youth, but many times middle-aged folk, older folk as well, take their own lives because of despair, a feeling of hopelessness. And a feeling of hopelessness is at epidemic proportions, I think, in our society today. The idea that there's just no light at the end of the tunnel. We live really, if we're sensitive at all to what's going on around us and what seems to be on the horizon, just when we say that it could not get any worse, it does, doesn't it? And when we look at all of that, it can create in us, even as God's people, a sense of despair and a sense of hopelessness for the future. And young people, and I'm thankful for all the children, young people that are here this morning. Sometimes this can happen to young people as they think of their future and work possibilities and vocations and getting a godly wife or husband and having a home and a family and having joy and happiness and fulfillment. It looks as if, you know, those things are becoming less and less possibilities today because of all the things that are happening, and say nothing about the moral and spiritual degradation of the world in which we live. And that feeling of despair and no light at the end of the tunnel, for those who do not know the Lord, many of them taking their own lives. But listen, dear friends, today, God never wants that to happen in the life of His child, in the life of the child of God. That ought never to happen. I'm convinced that a high percentage of those who commit suicide today do so perhaps not because of a feeling of guilt for their past, but because of a loss of a sense of hope for the future. A loss of sense of hope for the future. And God wants every born-again Christian to know that His child never needs to lose his sense of hope for the future. And that's what I want to really encourage us with today. I want us to go away today with just maybe a bit of a burden lifted and a heart that's lighter and more filled with confidence and optimism in the Lord, confidence in the Lord and trust that we have a glorious future. We have a glorious future. And we need to let our countenance radiate that fact that we have a glorious future. And we never, never need to sense that awful sorrow and that awful pain that comes when hope is lost. As I was thinking of this and thinking of just challenging God's people and challenging you folk this morning with this truth that we have a glorious future, I thought that is a true statement, but our minds go to, what about those people, those dear ones, loved ones in our church family or family members that are shut in and they're elderly? We have a number of people in our church family at this particular time that have reached the age of 88, 89, 90, 91, 92. And many of them are in nursing homes or being taken care of by family members, but, you know, they have lost a lot of their, or maybe even all of their mobility and hearing and vision, and they are constant in pain, and they are at a time in their life when there seems to be nothing pleasant about it. And my mind goes to one particular lady that I want to take just a moment and share with you, a lady named Ella Page. She's passed away now. She's with the Lord, but for a number of years, she was in a nursing home. And that dear lady, for a long period of time, she had lost both her vision and her hearing. She could not see one thing, and she could not hear one thing. I used to go in and visit with her, and my heart just went out to her. And I still think of her today, of those times when I would go in and visit with her. And here she would be sitting in that nursing home in a chair. And I would go along, and she couldn't hear you speak. She couldn't see you, and so her only thing left was touch, touch. And I remember so clearly that when I would go in, I would sit down, and I never knew whether she knew that I was who I was there. She just knew someone was there. And I would take her hands, and during the visit there, sometimes I would take my hands away, maybe to read scripture or whatever, and she would constantly be feeling for my hands. That really just touched my heart. And I can't imagine how it would be able to live that way. But to say, look, we all have a glorious future. You say, well, Pastor Philbrook, certainly she'd be an exception. No, she wouldn't be an exception. Because she knew the Lord. She loved the Lord. And I can say to you today, by God's grace and just by God's love and goodness, that lady had a glorious future. Oh, you say, you're thinking of when she gets to know, be with the Lord in heaven. No, she had a glorious future in the time God left her in that condition right here on earth. You know why? Just think of it. Just think of it. She had wonderful blessings from the grace of God in her life, that her hearing and the loss of her hearing, the loss of her vision, the loss of her mobility, that those things could not take away. She had the peace of God in her heart. She had the assurance that the Lord Jesus was, that had said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He was with her. She had the assurance of God's provision for her daily life, for her daily needs. She had that constant assurance. And she had that sure hope of someday she would be with the Lord, and that she would go on to live with the Lord in His eternal home forever. You know, dear friends, let's never underestimate those glorious blessings that we have that are not dependent at all on the happenings in my life, that are not dependent upon our health or our bank account or our physical abilities or any of those things. God is so good to us. We have a glorious future. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter how young or old or how healthy or unhealthy. It doesn't matter any of those things. If you're a child of God, know the Lord is your Savior, you have a glorious future. And we can be so very thankful for that. And that's why the Apostle Paul says to us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, God says to us, I don't want any of my children to ever sorrow as those who have no hope. You remember that verse of Scripture that says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. You know, whenever I stand by a graveside or in a funeral service, I'm sure your pastor does the same thing. I never tell people that God doesn't want them to sorrow. We don't find in the Bible anywhere that God doesn't want us to sorrow. Sorrow is a part of healing. I'm convinced of that. But we do find in the Bible that God says to every one of us as His children, I don't want you to sorrow as those who have no hope. What an awful thing it is. Multitudes of people today, dear friends, have no hope. No hope whatsoever for their future, for their eternity. And so God says, look, for my children, I never want you to know the pain and the sorrow of losing hope. And so God pleads with us this morning through this message, through His word. He's pleading with us. You need never come to the place where you feel the repression, the sorrow, the pain of just no hope. God says, I never want that to happen to any of my children. Therefore, the title of our message this morning, Don't Lose Hope. Because when the going gets tough, we need to remember certain things. We started out in our messages mentioning that when the going gets tough, that's kind of the overall theme of all the messages that I've been sharing and will throughout the day today. But there are certain things that the Apostle Paul brings out here that he says, look, when the going gets tough, remember certain things. And we've shared a couple of those different things. And the one I want to share this morning is this. We are to remember that our future is hopeful. So we need to just go for it. Our future is hopeful. And I don't know your lives here, right? You know, your pastor knows you, probably a lot of you really intimately. He knows your burdens, your heartaches, and he's been by your bedside in the hospital, and he's been there, maybe had your wedding and had the funeral of loved ones that passed away, and so he knows you very well. I don't know you, right? Don't know you at all, except for the few that I've had an opportunity to rub shoulders with in the few hours that we've been here together. And I don't know what you've been through in the past, in your lives, but I just want to emphasize that you have a wonderful, glorious future, no matter what has happened in your life. So we need to look to that. We need to just say, all right, Lord, thank you. It doesn't seem possible, and I don't know what it is, and all the circumstances of my life don't seem to be pointing to a glorious future. But Lord, I'm going to trust you for that, because I'm your child. I'm going to trust you for that. So the Apostle Paul says here in this passage, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Now, in that particular phrase, I want us to see that there are two very important things that are implied regarding our future. Now, it's important that we really get a hold of these things that are here. Because it's not enough just to say, okay, Pastor Philbrick, wonderful, great, I have a glorious future. Now I'm just going to sit back in my recliner and I'm going to kind of see, you know, what the Lord's going to do. Well, that's not going to happen, dear friends, if that's our attitude toward it, right? We need to recognize that when the Bible says, when God says, reaching forth unto those things which are before, that there are certain things implied there. And I want us to really get a handle on these things. Two things in particular to begin with. First of all, implied there is human responsibility. You know, this is something we forget in the Christian lives oftentimes. Our responsibility before God. Human responsibility. Because he says, reaching forth. Reaching forth. That's the first thing that's implied. Human responsibility. The command, and just think on this, the command to reach forth precludes or implies that there are things worth reaching for in the future. There are things worth reaching for in the future. And let me go one step further and say this, dear friends. There are things far more wonderful to reach for in the future than you even realize and that I realize. You know, things may be good for you. You may have, a pretty good income, and you have a nice home, and you have a nice automobile, and your family's doing well, and everything's going pretty good. So you say, well, you know, I guess I do have a glorious future, and I'm just kind of going to be thankful for that. But, you know, let's never be passive about that. I want to say to you, even those of you who have it really good, and you just have it maybe as good as you think it can get, I want to say to us this morning, if we follow biblical principles and we reach forth unto those things which are before and face our own personal human responsibility in that great command, then I will guarantee you that there are better things before, there are better things in your future than what you are imagining now. There are better things in your future than what you could possibly hope for. But there is that human responsibility, and it is implied there, and it is precluded here, that there are things worth reaching for in our future. Paul is simply saying this. He's saying, whatever you do, don't spend your future doing nothing just because you spent your past doing poorly. That's what he's saying here. Paul is just bringing us up short. And he's saying, look, just because things have been rough in the past, just because you spent your past maybe doing poorly, not doing as good as you would think would have liked to have done, don't think that there is not a great future ahead of you. Because God says, I have a wonderful plan for your life, reaching forth unto those things which are before. So forgetting those things which are behind, he says, things which are behind, forget those things, because our past is irreversible, so forget it. You can't change it. We talked about that yesterday. So now, he says, the next step is reaching forth unto those things which are before. I like that word there. Ordinarily, that word, us Maine people have a time pronouncing those words. But that word, A-R-E, the things that are before, they're there, they're out there. God says we need to reach for them. And the first step is recognizing human responsibility in that. Perhaps the one thing more debilitating than dwelling on the failures of the past is losing hope for the future. Maybe the one thing that would be more debilitating than focusing on the things of the past and the failures of the past would be losing hope for the future. I know people, and without doubt, dear friends, you know many people as well, but I know people whose lives have been reduced to a pile of rubble. Your heart, my heart, is broken oftentimes as I look at people that showed so much potential, people that could have done so much for the Lord, but through bad decisions and bad choices are now living with the consequences of those choices. You know, dear friends, the choices that you make are so extremely important. And I plead with my church family. I plead with my church family to remember that we can control our choices. But we cannot control the consequences of those choices. And so make right choices. But you and I both, we know people whose lives have been reduced to a pile of rubble, all broken pieces. And there are times that I tell you honestly, dear friends, there are times when I will look at people and just stand back and look. And there are times that I wish I could just take them in my arms and just pull them right up close to me and look into their faces and say to them, listen, no matter what you have done, there is always a way back. No matter what you have done, no matter what has happened in your life, there is always a way back to forgiveness and restoration and walking with God. And there's always a way to move forward. And as a child of God, your future is hopeful. So trust God for it. Do something for God. Oh, when we lose hope, we seem to just lose our ability to really get a grasp of that wonderful truth that God says to all of us. You see, in this passage, he's not talking to an elite group of, you know, high-class Christians, so to speak, that got all their ducks in a row and get it all together and haven't forgotten where they put it, like we do sometimes, you know what I mean? He wasn't talking to people that were just super spiritual and the spiritual hierarchy, just to reach forth unto those things which are before. He wasn't saying, look, no matter how good you've got it now, I can make it better. But he was reaching down to you and to me that haven't always had it so good and done it so good. And we haven't always been successful, but sometimes great failure has come in our lives. And he's saying to you and to me, look, my child, look, I don't want you to ever suffer the sorrow and pain of losing hope. So reaching forth unto those things which are before. It's to you and me that he's saying that. I'm so thankful for that. So thankful for that. You and I need to just trust the Lord for that. So in all of God's miraculous dealings with us, he never leaves out the human responsibility. That's the first thing I want to emphasize, this reaching forth, reaching forth. And you know something, dear friends, that when we fail in our lives, when we do not remain faithful, when we fail in our lives, it's not because God has failed, is it? It's not because God has failed. You know, when we lose hope for the future, and when we go into despair, or we face circumstances that seem to just push us down and grind us down, it's not because God has failed us. Because God's word teaches us, does it not? In 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, thanks be to God, for the verse slips me, actually. Thanks be for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift to us. Thanks be to God for his help and his arm that leads us and guides us day by day. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, where the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And then we read in Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So, dear friends, God has not let us down. God has not failed. And when there is failure, it's because we have failed to trust in him. I think of when Christ raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, verse 39. What did he say to the disciples there? He said, take ye away the stone. The human responsibility in doing the work of God, in doing God's will, and knowing God in a personal, or knowing God's will for a glorious future. He says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. And we must never forget that God has given us a responsibility in that matter. And it's wonderful to know that when we're willing to roll away the stone, God will perform the miracle, won't he? And he raised Lazarus from the dead. We think perhaps of Naaman, And I find that there are many Christians today. I find that I today am like Naaman in different circumstances in my life that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 5 when the prophet Elisha told him to do a very simple thing. What did the prophet Elisha tell Naaman to do? He said, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was angry, and he went away. What a horrible thing. We've all read that story many times over, but this was a simple thing that God asked him to do. But I want to tell you, dear friends, today, it was something that Naaman failed to recognize, that if he wanted to have a glorious future, he had to face personal responsibility. He had to face human responsibility to be obedient to the Lord. And Naaman didn't want that simple solution to his problem. You know, oftentimes we don't want simple solutions to our problems. You know, I'm convinced as a pastor, and I don't know whether your pastor would necessarily agree with me on this or not, but let me say to you that I've been convinced over the years that believers have problems, but the solutions are not usually complicated solutions. They're not complicated solutions. They're simple solutions. Just like with this story there of Naaman. Just like this, these illustrations throughout the scripture that we find that God has a simple solution. But if we're not willing to just do what we know is right, the basics of the Christian life. You know, oftentimes I have the opportunity to counsel people. But I have my own feeling about counseling people. I'm cautious about that. And because one thing that I feel very strongly about after being in the ministry for years and years, that there are people who want solutions and there are people who want attention. And I try to be wise about that. And I'm willing to give anybody any advice and any counsel that I possibly can, I think would be helpful to them. And spend time with them personally to do that. But dear friends, when I find believers are not willing to do the basics of the Christian life, when people come to me for counsel, you know, one of the first things I ask them, do you have a time and place with God every day? Do you read the Word of God on a regular basis and have a prayer time with God? Because, you know, that's a basic. And I've come to realize over the years that if we're not doing the basic things, if we're not reading our Bibles daily, if we're not talking with the Lord on a regular basis, if we're not faithfully attending the house of God, if we give no attention to prayer and the prayer meeting of the church and meeting together for fellowship, and fellowshipping with other believers and putting ourselves under the ministry of the pastor and the leadership of the church, you know, that's a simple solution to many of our problems. And if people are not willing to do that, if they're not willing to do the basic things, then probably whatever else I tell them isn't really going to be of a lot of help to them. And so I think this was the situation here. There's always that human responsibility. And if we're going to have a glorious future, then we have got to recognize that we have a human responsibility. Secondly, there are divine possibilities. He says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. So you see, dear friends, divine possibilities are out there for you and for me. Divine possibilities, things far beyond what you anticipated that God could ever do with your life. I love the verse of scripture that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. This passage of scripture that says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So here we find this calling of God in your life and in my life. You know, dear friends, there is not one single person that God ever saves that he doesn't call to a glorious future. There's not one person that God ever saves that he doesn't call to serve him. We are called to serve the Lord and serving the Lord in this glorious future that he has for us in this walking in the Christian life. But I want you to notice something about this calling that has always been just a great, great blessing to me. Three characteristics of this calling. I think you have those on your notes there. First of all, a holy calling, which simply means without flaw. You know, we live in a time when we have, you know, things are moving pretty fast. And I think of the area of medicine, for instance. I don't know whether any doctors among us are not, or nurses, but if there are, probably they would agree with me this morning. I hope they would agree with me this morning. That today, you know, as much medical expertise as we have, and as how blessed we are to live in this age of great advancement in the area of medicine, there are still many times that doctors have to say to us, well, you know, I'm really not sure at this point about your problem, what it is, but let's experiment with this. Doctors have said that to us, right? We don't blame them for that. They're not infallible. They can't know everything. They do the very best that they can. But there are times when they just have to, after all the tests have been given and all the diagnoses have been made, they say, well, I'm still not really sure, but let's just very, very carefully experiment with some medications to see what happens. And let me know how they're working out. You know, dear friends, that's okay in the field of medicine and from a human perspective, and we could illustrate that with a lot of other things. But listen, God's calling on our life is not experimental. It's a wonderful thing to know that when God calls us, His calling is a holy calling. It is without flaw. It is without flaw. God knows what we need. He knows what is best for us. We have a glorious future because God has called us to a glorious future. And He knows what is best for our lives. He knows what will bring us the most joy and happiness and fulfillment and pleasure in just daily life. God knows what will most glorify Him through our lives. So it is a holy calling. And God places that calling upon every single one of us. Every single one of us. It's a holy calling. It is without flaw. Secondly, He says it's not according to my works, to my works, to our works. That means it is without limitation. Isn't that wonderful to know that God is not limited to my abilities and my talents? Because you may be sitting there this morning saying, you know, I just don't have much for talent. You know, we listen to others. I won't mention any names, but Nathan said, well, I did mention his name, didn't I? Nathan sitting over there, and the concert that we heard last night. No, my wife is a musician. She's a pianist, and she said to me after, that's the most wonderful concert, piano concert I've ever heard. And she's heard a lot of them. And I don't want to swell his head up, right? You know, he hasn't got much on top there to kind of hold it together, so I don't want to get any bigger. But, you know, we look at somebody with a lot of talent in an area, we say, I don't have that talent. And you know, but dear friends, that doesn't matter. You know, God gives us abilities and talents according to His will because we have a glorious future. And those all fit into that. And God wants to use those things. And He has a plan for us. And what a wonderful thing that is. It is without limitation. God says it because it's not according to my works. Oh, how wonderful it is when we have gifts and talents, we use them for God's glory. God expects that of us. But you know, dear friends, that's not the limit of it. God is not limited to my ability. He's not limited to my talent. You may feel very insecure. You may feel like, oh, you know, I just don't think I can do and I can't be successful. Listen, dear friends, you have a glorious future if you recognize, first of all, personal responsibility in walking with God. We've lined that out a little bit. And secondly, realizing that there are divine possibilities out there, divine possibilities. Oh, there is no limit to what God can do. I want to guarantee, dear friends, that some of you are sitting here today and you're thinking, well, He's talking to everybody but me. You know, certainly can't, the Lord can't do that for me. And I'll guarantee you, if you let God take control and say, all right, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I knew I'd use the words of that hymn somewhere in my message this morning. If you will do that and give God your all, you will look back in 5-10 years down the road and say, you know, I remember that long-nosed, white-haired old preacher that came from the state of Maine with that Maine accent. And I remember him saying about if we would just, that God had a glorious future, and if we would just give our lives over to Him and give Him our all. And you'll say, boy, that was really true. That was really true. Because His calling is a holy calling without flaw. It's not according to my works. It's without limitation. But according to His purpose. According to His purpose, which means it's without failure. You know, dear friends, if you surrender to the Lord, give him your all, say, Lord, here's my life, I give it to you, and you just do with it what you will, dear God, and I will do my part, I'll stick to the basics, I'll be faithful in my daily walk, in all that that involves, and Lord, you just take my life, and you use it, God will do far beyond what you can possibly imagine, what you can possibly even imagine. So, this is our chance to be on a winning team. But you know, dear friends, I've often said this, and I want to say this morning, and I kind of close with this thought, that the child of God who surrenders to the Lord, you may say, well, boy, we're on the winning team. But you know, the Christian really isn't on the winning team. The Christian is on the team that has already won. And that's far better, isn't it? That's far better. You have a glorious future. And if you will reach forth unto those things which are before, then, dear friends, God will do far more than you could possibly imagine. Don't ever lose hope. Don't ever lose hope. Let God always pick up the pieces and take you on to serve him and just do your very best for him. Dear Lord, this morning we thank you for this time together. Lord, you know where every one of us are at in our life, in our walk with you. Dear God, we pray that we might remember these thoughts when we have a tendency to lose hope. Lord, when we tend to be in despair about circumstances of failures or difficulties or struggles, help us, dear Lord, we pray this morning, to every one of us to recognize, yes, I'm not on the winning team. I'm on the team that has already won. And Lord, there is victory in our lives. If we will reach forth unto those things which are before, Lord, help us, we pray, to find that to be a great challenge and blessing and joy to our lives in the days ahead. I commit each one of these dear folk to you, Lord, in the face of these principles, in Jesus' name, amen.